Well, we come once again to our text that we've been considering over the past few weeks, Ephesians chapter 6. I invite you to turn there with me. It's a critical text for the times in which we live. Ephesians chapter 6. Our main text is going to be verse 16, but I'm going to read from verses beginning at verse 10 to set the context and rehearse what we've been looking at in the past several days. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Now, to just review the context and the main themes in this text, I want to remind you of what the central command of this extended portion of Scripture is. The command is to stand firm. It is written to Christians who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the truth of God in the revelation of Christ given to us. We have the righteousness of Christ applied to our account that settles matters for us in an eternal way with a holy God. And we have, through in Christ, reconciliation with God. Our sins are forgiven. He views us as He views His own Son. We are accepted in the Beloved. This is God's perspective on His people. He sees us as righteous, not as sinful, because the Lord Jesus Christ has intervened on our behalf. What we are to do as Christians, you and I, we are to appropriate those things. We are to remember them, and we are to filter them through our minds so that we view all of life through that perspective, that God has revealed Himself in Christ and in His written Word. God has given us the righteousness of Christ, and God has reconciled us to Himself in His Son. And as a result of that, as we walk through this world, we are to stand firm. And we are to stand firm even though we are opposed by evil, dark, demonic forces headed by Satan himself, who oppose us in a close face-to-face resistance designed to undermine our faith, designed to lead us astray. Look at verse 12 with me. It says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." You and I do not have the strength to overcome that kind of opposition. We are opposed by enemy forces that, apart from Christ, have the ability easily to slay us and to extinguish us, for lack of a better term. But that's not the end of the story. The strength of God, the strength of Christ, the strength of His might, look at it there in verse 10, is protecting us. And so we draw upon that in order to walk through this life in obedience to everything that is revealed in the whole book of Ephesians, and to walk through in faith, confident in what our Lord has done for us. All of this revelation, righteousness, and reconciliation, watch this, is designed to make us people of courage. You and I are to walk through this life with the courage of faith. Now, with that little bit of introduction, I would just say that I love the realism of Scripture because it explains the world and the difficulties in which we live. 1 John 5:19 says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And when you consider the nature of the world in which we're living right now, and which is the reason that I am preaching on this text in these days, you can see how everything that is happening is designed to undermine that courage and confidence with which Scripture calls us to live. These past 6 months have been a time of unprecedented fear for many. It has been a time of unprecedented anger following on the heels of the supposed crisis of the pandemic of COVID. The fear that initially engendered in March was followed soon on the heels in late May by the anger of all of the riots that were engendered by the Black Lives Movement. And so we see fear and anger dominating the climate in which we live and dominating the thoughts of people that are all around us. And I won't expand on that. It's all so familiar that I just need to allude to it, and you know exactly what I'm referring to. Fear and anger just animating things and definitely having breached the walls of the Christian church and creating division and suspicion among the professing people of Christ. These are difficult days in which we live for sure. What I want you to see is that in that worldly environment that has spilled over the walls and into the church, and we're walking through that broadly speaking. I'm not talking about our local church here at Truth Community at all. But let me just remind you, turn over to Galatians chapter 5 for a moment. Galatians chapter 5, by contrast, what the things of the Spirit are, what the fruit of the Spirit is. In contrast to fear, in contrast to anger, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you consider what the Spirit of God produces in His people, you see that the fruit of that Spirit is something that drives out fear, that drives out anger, because we are resting in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not afraid and we are not angry because we understand that God's anger against us has been satisfied in Christ. And so, having been reconciled to our judge, we realize that we can walk through this world with a sense of peace and realizing that the one who loves us and gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one who rules over every molecule of the universe. He rules over all of the events of men, over the rise and fall of nations, and over all of the details of life and death and sickness in our lives. If the one who loves us and gave himself for us is in control of everything that happens, then we are to be people who live without that prevailing sense of doom and fear, because we understand that we are in the hands of one who is working everything together for our good. And so no matter what happens with COVID, no matter what happens with Black Lives Matters, no matter what happens in the upcoming presidential election, we are at peace because we know that our Lord is directing it all to His purposes and for our good and for our blessing in the end. And what that should do in each one of our hearts is create a sense of confidence, of courage and serenity, not just in the world events that are around us, but in the personal events of life that are so challenging and so difficult for the ones that we hold dear. And so we look at all of these things from a completely different perspective. Beloved, to believe Christ and to believe the To believe the Bible is to have a worldview that takes everything into account and still leaves you in a position of strength. That is so critical for us to understand and to live as we walk through this life. Now, it's not just the external nature of the world that would undo us, because you and I all understand as professing Christians that we are battling corruption in our own hearts. There is sin within us. We are tempted toward evil by our own flesh. James chapter 1 speaks of that. Each man is tempted when he's carried away by the lusts of his own flesh. And so we have an enemy within the remnants of our sinful flesh that battle against us as well. And when you and I recognize our own intrinsic vulnerability, let's say, and we have this angry, fearful world all around us, it is easy for us, if we're not careful, to feel vulnerable, to feel discouraged, and to want to give up. To just sit down and extract ourselves from the battle, to go AWOL, as it were. And what this passage is teaching us is that that is exactly what we are to resist. We are not to do that, but rather we are to understand and appropriate all of these spiritual resources that we have in Christ and let them produce in us an unconquerable courage. Because, beloved, you can survive in a world like this. In fact, let's go a step further and say that spiritually speaking, you can thrive in a world like this. And that's the only possible conclusion we could come to if Jesus Christ is Lord and we belong to Him. And so we are of God and we have overcome these things. And now it is our responsibility and our prerogative to live in light of those things. In light of that, let's look at verse 16, our text for this evening. Once again, with all of that context laid down, verse 16 in the New American Standard says, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." We're in a battle. And as I like to say, and as I've said a few times during the course of this, a soldier's valor is tested in conflict. It is not, beloved, when things are easy for us that we prove forth the glories of Christ and His sufficiency for all things. It's not when things are prosperous and peaceful that we show forth the excellence of Christ and His power to save, deliver, and sustain His people. It's when it's all being tested. It's when we're physically tired. It's when we're spiritually concerned, when our loved ones are straying away from the path that we would have them to go. It's at precisely at that time that a passage like Ephesians 6 comes to bear upon our lives. And what I want to say to you is this, saying it to each one of you to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to set your sights higher than what we will ever find in the media reports around us. This is the realm in which we as Christians are to shine. This is where our light stands on the hill and is manifest to all who see in the darkness. God has equipped us for this battle with His revelation, with the righteousness of Christ, and with the reconciliation that we have to our God and Father. His revelation tells us that He rules over all. We belong to Him. We are in His family. We are the objects of His affection. I ask you, in light of those things, beloved, what then could possibly go wrong for us? How could things ever go astray for our souls if the Good Shepherd is daily attending us with His goodness and mercy all the days of our lives? There just comes a point where you and I need to, I say this gently, I don't know quite how else to say it, there just comes a time when we need to say, okay, that's what I believe to be true. That's what truth is. This is what Scripture teaches about my God, about my Christ, about the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign, He's wise, He's loving, He's over it all. And there just comes a point in time where you and I have to look ourselves in the mirror, preach to ourselves and say, soul, it's time for you to grow up and stop living in this realm of fear and intimidation and live with the courage of which Christ is worthy. You are to live by those truths in this evil world. And here in verse 16, we see how we are to do that. Let's look at it. There's three principles for tonight that show us how to have the courage of faith. And these are matters that you settle in your heart. This is not preeminently about what you do as much as what it is that you believe. And whether you act upon that, what I mean by act upon it is that you embrace that and it shapes the way that you view everything else. That you formulate your desires and your expectations by the truth that you say that you believe. These things have consequences for the way that we walk through life, especially in a time, an evil time like this. And so we're talking about our desires. We're talking about our affections here tonight. And this is what is ultimately true about every true Christian. These things are at least present in seed form in your heart if you have at all been born again. And so what's the first one is we do this. You affirm your confidence in Christ. What is it to walk by faith, the courage of faith? You affirm your confidence in Christ. And we see this here in verse 16, where he says this, and there at the first part, he says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. What is it that Scripture says about us as we walk through this life? We walk by faith, not by sight. What we see is not sufficient to undermine the faith that we have in Christ. Here's what it means for you and me. It means that as we look to the future, we rely on Christ. We rely on the reality that He is sufficient for us, that He will protect and carry us. And that everything that we want in life is found in Christ and in Him alone. If we lost the whole world and still had Christ, we would have everything that we wanted and needed as Christians. Because we would have the One who loved us and gave Himself up for us. And that is enough to satisfy the soul of the Christian. And so when Paul says taking up the shield of faith, he's saying that you remember what you believe about Christ. You affirm the fact that that is what you are living for and that is sufficient. And you carry that sufficiency with a courageous sense of confidence that says, I know that Christ will never fail me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have all that I need in Him. And I'm going to shape my view of life on that basis. Now, I want to show you something very interesting here. That first clause in the NASB says, in addition to all. The literal language is simpler in the Greek under that. In the Greek, it's simply in all. And those of you that have marginal notes, you may see that in the margin that says literally it means in all. The English Standard Version translates it as a little better, in my humble opinion, in all circumstances. The idea is this. No matter what is happening in life, either in the world or to you personally, What you are to do, what Paul is talking about, is something that you do at all times in all circumstances. Every circumstance, every day in life is to be governed by this perspective of having an unshakable confidence in Christ. Now, he says, taking up the shield of faith. This is another element of the armor, of the protection that Roman soldiers had. And the shield that is described here that the soldiers used, it was a 4 foot long and 2.5 foot wide shield of leather that was covered with hide and bound together with iron. And it protected the body of the soldier so that when an enemy would fire arrows that were dipped in pitch and set on fire and shoot those to try to kill the Roman soldier, he had a shield that did this. The shield absorbed the force of the blow and extinguished the fire of the arrow so it fell harmlessly at the side and brought no harm to him. The shield kept him safe as long as he kept it up in the midst of the battle. Well, what Paul is saying here is this. He's not talking about literal warfare, is he? He's talking about a spiritual warfare. And what you are to do, and this is your responsibility as a Christian. These are words that are addressed to us as Christians about what we are to do. He's not writing commands to God about what God is to do, is he? This is what you and I are to do, what we are responsible to do. We are to daily, even hourly, even sometimes moment by moment, remind ourselves of these great truths. I am walking through this world as a pilgrim. This world is not my home. Christ has loved me. Christ has saved me. Christ has covered me with His righteousness. I have the unalterable, inerrant standard of truth. I have truth itself in the revealed Word of God. I have reconciliation with a holy God. And when I go before my judge one day, still future to come, when I stand before my judge, it will be well with my soul. He will accept me. He will give that final verdict that receives me into heaven. Ah, this is one of mine. And receive us and love us because we are in Christ. Now, beloved, you must understand that is the most important thing in your life. Nothing is more important than the fact that God has accepted you in Christ. Because if God has accepted you in Christ, it is going to be well for you throughout all of eternity, no matter what may happen during our brief window of time on earth. And eternity is more important than what happens in time. What happens for the blessing throughout all of the ages far outweighs, is far more important than anything that we may struggle with for a few months or years here on earth. And as we've often said, you take that future reality that is yours, that already belongs to you in Christ. Your life is already hidden in heaven with Christ. You take that future reality and you let it shape everything else that you think about the world around you. If the election doesn't go the way that you want it to, it's okay. Eternity does. If this pandemic accusation thing goes on for months more or years more, it's okay. It's not going to be present in heaven. You know, and all of the anger in the world around us, in the Black Lives Matters movements, and the protests and the riots in so many cities, all of the murderous things that are being done in the name of justice, you know what? All of that is going to be set aside. None of that will follow us into heaven itself. None of that is found in Christ. And so this shield of faith gives us the courage to live in this evil world. It gives us discernment to see things for the way that they really are. It gives us strength to walk so that we are walking in courage, not in anger or in fear. This is what the Christian life is to be. You will stand firm as you consciously rely on Christ in that way. It was Christ who said, in this world you have tribulation, but what? Take heart. Take courage. I've overcome the world. Courage, my friends, in light of who Christ is and what He has done for us. Now, I ask you to examine your heart and just take a moment of meditation before your God and ask yourself whether that has been marking the way that you've lived today, over the past week, over the past month or 6 months. Is this the mark of your inner man? Now look, I know that's convicting. I know that that makes us a little bit uncomfortable to think in those terms. But what I want you to see is, if it hasn't been, this is your opportunity. Christ is bringing to you through His Word tonight the things that deliver you from all of that fear and all of the uncertainty and the agitation of heart and mind that is so disruptive to your peace and to your family life. We don't have to live in that realm at all. It's the world in which we live, but that's not our realm. Our realm is in Christ. And for those of us that claim His name, we affirm our confidence in that, and we view everything else accordingly. This is crucial. Christ is everything. Christ is all. And that reality shapes the way we see everything else. Now, secondly, you not only affirm your confidence in Christ, vertically speaking, but you look at yourself, as it were, and point number two, you acknowledge your responsibility. You acknowledge your responsibility. And here's the thing that I think the passage is preeminently saying to us, is that in light of this wonderful armor of God that has been given to us, you and I are to walk through this life as Christians with, watch this, an expectation of spiritual success. We expect to see God bless us. We expect to see God keep us. We expect to see Him manifest His faithfulness to us in tangible ways. That's what all of Psalm 23 is driving toward. As David talks about his good shepherd, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He expects it to ultimately go well with him, and that even if there are trials and there are enemies that are watching him and plotting for his downfall, his expectation is that God will protect him through that. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, I think that you could look at your life and say, yeah, I have experience with that. I remember times where people were lying against me. And when things were very desperate and we were at the end of our rope financially, or I had people at work that were actively opposed to me and seeking my downfall, here I am, and God brought me through those things safe, unharmed. There wasn't even a hair of my head that was singed in the fire along the ways. That is the idea. You engage this battle expecting spiritual success, expecting God to be faithful to you. Look at here again at verse 16. He says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, that's what we were talking about, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You will be able to do that. Now, this verse is supporting the central theme, the central imperative of the passage, that is stand firm. And what Paul is saying right here at this point is that as you appropriate this armor of God, you will be able to win the battle. And this is in the indicative mood. This is a statement of fact. It's not a conditional statement. He is saying that as you do this, you will experience this spiritual protection and this spiritual success. But what you must understand, beloved, is that this is a passage that is directed to you about what you do. God does not need to stand firm. You do. God calls you to stand firm. And here's what it means. Here's what it's saying, is that you are responsible. We do not believe in that discredited approach to spiritual life that is passive and says, let go and let God. And you know, and the idea is that you just surrender everything and you don't have to do anything. But once you come to that place of complete self-resignation, God will do it all for you. That's not true. Scripture says you are to take up these elements of armor and apply them, and you are the one who is called to stand firm. You are responsible to take what God has given you in Christ and develop a sanctified mind that thinks in accordance with these truths, that recognizes the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, your reconciliation with God, and you view all of life through those things. If you can't tell, my intention by the time we're done with Ephesians 6 is for you to be able to say in your sleep, the righteousness of Christ, the revelation of Christ, and the reconciliation with Christ. And those three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but revelation, righteousness, and reconciliation would be so much on the tip of your tongue that all of life is easily calculated through them. That is developing a sanctified mind and an obedient life no matter what happens. Now, you might say, although hopefully your ability to say something like this is being diminished as we go through this text together, you might be able to say, but I'm too weak. I just can't do this. Beloved, those words should never come out of your mouth if you are a Christian. You should never say, I am too weak to endure this life, this marriage, this illness, this difficulty, this job. You should never say anything like that, because it's not true. It may seem that way, but that's not reality. Reality is defined by the revelation of God, the righteousness of Christ, and your reconciliation with Him. And if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you, helping you and equipping you and strengthening you, then yes, you can do all of these things that God brings to you. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. And so, rather than collapsing in a puddle of tears and a puddle of thinking that you're too weak, you need to come back, go to Christ, pour out your heart before Him, tell Him all about your troubles, and know that in His merciful kindness towards you, He will help you, He will strengthen you, He will accept you even in your weakness, and enable you to stand. I was reminded today through some other work that I was doing of what Christ said to Peter in John chapter 21. Why don't we turn over there for just a moment? John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, verse 18, Christ gave a personal prophecy to the Apostle Peter, telling him how he was going to die. And he said in verse 18, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is Jesus speaking to Peter, he said, "when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Peter was going to be crucified also. Now in verse 19, he says, "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God." Peter, it's going to be very difficult for you, but I will be with you to strengthen you so that even in this most difficult death, you will affirm your faith and glorify God as a result of it. And having said that to him, he said, "Peter, you follow me." Now, at the extreme hour of death, beloved, even then we take on this armor of God. Even as we're laying, struggling for our last breath, even as we're struggling with physical forces that we know are going to squeeze the life out of us, even in that moment, beloved, you're to still, and you still can glorify God, drawing upon the faithfulness of Christ. And even in that extreme moment, the words of faith become so simple, and you forget everything that you've learned along the way, but there's this central, basic, simple affirmation of faith. As you're laying there, you say, "Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And you glorify God even in the extreme hour of death, trusting Him. You are able to do that. And what we're talking about as we talk about this armor of God and the spiritual battle that we're engaged in, Paul is reminding us of confident facts. This is what the truth is. The way things really are. And because of that, because these are not wishful hypotheticals, this is not some academic theory, this is truth that is rooted in revelation made in time and space, historical events and real words that were spoken by a real Christ and His real apostles. This is reality, in other words. This is what is true. You and I take those things, bring them close to our chest, as it were, and we say, "That provision of God is sufficient for me." Even in this world, you can live serenely in Christ. But you have to understand that you have to appropriate these things. You go to Christ. You go to His Word. You're feeding your faith. You're feeding your faith day by day with these truths in a way that keeps them fresh and ready at hand when the battle heats up again. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I will help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I ask you, beloved, there are, of course, scriptures filled with promises like that to the people of God, dozens, hundreds of them. I ask you, how many times does God have to say it to you before you simply accept it by faith and live in a courageous response to life and consequence? Say, "God, I believe that. Okay, it's going to be all right with me in the end." And with that, we come to our third and final point for this evening, that we anticipate complete victory. We anticipate complete victory. We said that you affirm your confidence in Christ. You acknowledge your responsibility to walk in these things. And as you do, you anticipate complete victory. You can look to the future knowing that Christ is sufficient in everything in life. Look at verse 16 with me and notice the word all. He says, in all circumstances, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so while Satan is, as it were, pulling back his bow and shooting spiritual flaming arrows at you, you have this shield of faith that is sufficient to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing for which that provision does not protect you. And so while Satan tempts us to fear and anger in an age like this, in the privacy of your own life, he tempts you to ungodly thinking, ungodly behavior, ungodly words. The satanic world system undermines you with doubt and despair. For many of our believers, fellow believers, through time and even today, he instigates persecution against them, and they suffer for their faith in Christ. Even while Satan undermines the church with false teaching, as we see that played out even in the world around us today, and provokes us to fear in times like this, all of the multiplied ways that he seeks to undermine us, these realities of the revelation of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, and our reconciliation in Christ, it is sufficient for us to extinguish all of them and have our faith confirmed, affirmed, and strengthened through it all, so that we're glorifying God in the midst of it all. Your union with Christ, the fact that you belong to Christ, overcomes all of Satan's schemes. And so, beloved, I invite you, I call upon you in this sacred moment that we have here, gathered around God's Word together, to forget the world outside and look up and remember all that God has done for you in Christ. And the fact that the Holy Spirit gave you a new heart to believe all of these things, and that He indwells you to strengthen you in them. And I know that if you are a Christian, the Spirit of God is affirming to you throughout this evening, affirming the truth of the things that you're hearing from God's Word. These things are true, it echoes in your mind. These things are true, it reverberates in your heart. And when you have full confidence in these things that we have in Christ, you're ready for the battle. You do not need to fear the future. You do not need to collapse under the present. You do not have to be in chains to regrets about your past. Your past has been forgiven in Christ. Why would you dwell in that? Your present is controlled by Christ, and He is directing it for your good. Why would you be fearful or afraid or ashamed? And your future is safe with Him. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Shall tribulation or distress, shall peril or sword, famine or nakedness? No, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And so, beloved, yes, collectively we're in difficult days to be a Christian. We're no longer popular like maybe we once were 20 or 30 years ago. People don't like Christians these days. That's okay. That's okay. If they hated Christ, they're going to hate us. Jesus told us to expect that. I don't need the approval of the world. I don't need the approval of big names in Christianity to be content in Christ, you say to yourself. I am His. And He is mine. loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Gracious Spirit from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this fullness of Christ that belongs to us. There's no cause for fear. And in days like this, understand that the spiritual battle, the invisible realm in which Paul is speaking, this battle has always been raging. It's just that we see it more clearly today than we used to in the past, when peace and prosperity better marked the path that we lived. We just see things more clearly. We often read at the conclusion of our services the final two verses of Jude, saying the same things in a different way. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And so, beloved, I just want to tell you, if you are in Christ, you are ready for this battle. You are thoroughly equipped for this battle that life has brought us to. And you are ready to respond to this call to exercise valor, courage, admirable strength in the face of adversity. James Montgomery Boyce said this. He says, when God says that He is able to keep us from falling and present us before His presence with exceeding joy, He means exactly that, and He will do it. We do not need to fear when we advance into battle. God will go with us and bring victory. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You would help us take up this wonderful shield of faith and use it. Father, for those that are here tonight that are not Christians, Father, they have not been born again. They've been living the lie. We ask for a great act of mercy on Your part, that You would send the Spirit to their heart to convert them, to change them, to give them new life, that they would come to Christ and trust in His shed blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Father, everyone under the sound of my voice should be a participant in this wonderful life in Christ. No one should miss out on this. No one should dwell in darkness when the light is right at hand. No one should live in fear when the Lord of glory is right at the door, calling them to Himself. We ask You to be gracious and help them that they might be saved from this perverse generation. For the rest of us, O God, help us to take up this shield of faith, to be ever more settled and convinced in our minds of the perfection of Your revelation, the perfection of the righteousness of Christ, and the perfection of our reconciliation to You in Him. Father, if those things are true, it's well with our souls. And these are things that Satan cannot take away from us. He might take away health, he might take away loved ones, he might take away prosperity. But Lord, he cannot take away Christ from us. He cannot take away our salvation from us. He cannot keep us out of heaven. And because You are our captain, You are our commanding general, as it were, we are confident, we are sure, we are at peace. And we pray that You would keep us and help us as we seek to take up that shield of faith and apply it to every aspect of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Pastor Don Green from Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can find church information, Don's complete sermon library, and other helpful materials at thetruthpulpit.com. This message is copyrighted by Don Green, all rights reserved.